Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Marks and Reese, we're back. Happy Baldy Wednesday. Brian Baldinger joins us here. Coming up, Odyssey NFL Insider. Brian Baldinger, host of the Odyssey original podcast In the Huddle with Jason Lockenfora and put him up Carl Dukes from down in Atlanta, covering the entire NFL. And Baldy joins us right now. What's up, Baldy?
What's up, Johnny? What's going on?
How impressive were the Eagles? Well, let's start on the defense, actually, first. How impressed were you with the Eagles' defense last week?
I've seen that before. What they did in the first quarter, I've never seen any team do to any other team. I mean, I played with Reggie White and Clyde and Seth. I never saw any of us do what they did to Carson. I mean, they sacked him 5 out of 6 pass plays in the first quarter. I mean, he couldn't get to his third step, but he was getting hit. I've never seen a team dominate a defensive line like that before, John. So it was impressive. I don't care what the name on the back of the jersey is or what the team is. You just don't see that level of dominance in the NFL.
Not with a lot of extra guys either, Baldy. I mean, they're pretty much getting after them with just the 4-man pressures, right?
Just four. Every single one, except I think they had 1 5-man rush, 5 defensive linemen to start the game. But for the most part, there wasn't one single blitz. It was just 4-man rush. Even if the Commanders were trying to keep a tight end in the back, it didn't matter. I mean, they were just getting beat so badly. And it was everybody. It was Javon. It was Fletch. It was Hassan. It was Josh Sweat. I mean, every single guy took turns.
So let me look at BG, right? BG and Fletch, these are the older guys on that line. And they certainly, BG, NFC Defensive Player of the Week, well-deserved by him. I guess one of the things I would ask, Baldy, is this a one-off that we just saw? Or you think this is something that, I'm not saying 9 sacks every week, but, you know, if BG and Fletcher are going to play like this, man, this defensive line has a lot more depth and ability to be productive than I thought. They look very good Sunday. I'm wondering, can they keep this going?
Well, I mean, 9 sacks and 17 quarterback hits, that might not happen again this year.
Right.
Especially, you know, with Jacksonville come to town. I mean, they're much better up front. But I would say that if they can keep those guys on a pitch count, mm-hmm. so they're not getting worn down, and it looks like they're capable of doing that, Ike, mm-hmm. then I think you can get days where they can beat one-on-ones. You know, I mean, BG's always had power. He could always play with good leverage. He could always collapse a pocket. Fletcher's just a man-child in there. I mean, if they could get days like that, I don't think you can get it every week. I mean, it's just hard. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can get days like that, it certainly is going to contribute. And the thing that's, you know, really key here is I have not seen an Eagle defense in a long, long time. Maybe with Troy and Bobby and those guys. But I haven't seen a secondary cover like this secondary in a long time. So when you get Slay and Bradbury and Avante, and you get these guys, and Kazir, you get these guys covering like that, it helps the rush. They've been excellent. They played a lot of man. They've really plastered receivers pretty good through the first 3 weeks. So that always helps the pass rush.
Yeah, man, in fear of just repeating what you said, you know Fran Duffy very well down there with the Eagles. He and I looking at some film, and I actually broke down a little bit of tape, talking about how the pass rush and the coverage is sort of merged together and they're mirroring each other. Talk about the advantage that a defensive coordinator has when you can just get after the quarterback with 4 guys, and now you have those guys that you can have back in coverage. You know, Wentz does have the propensity to hold on to the ball, but I thought Baldy, looking at a lot of the all-22s, particularly on those sacks, he didn't have anywhere to go with the football because of the coverage was so good.
Yeah, well, that's a fact. It certainly helps. I think, you know, if you go back to the Monday night game against Minnesota, mm-hmm. you know, they had 4 blitz-0 blitzes in a short period of time. And I know that Jonathan Gannon felt comfortable that they could hold up on the back end. And so to answer your question, when you can have that type of production from your secondary and from your defensive front, it just gives you great flexibility. you know, to pull a lot of things out. Like, you don't have to get fancy if you want to just play pretty basic and say, okay, we're better than yours, then that you could do that. But if you want to come after them and overload and really have everything at your disposal, because if you want to blitz, you know, you better be able to hold up on the back end against guys like Justin Jefferson, which they did, or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. You'll see a couple good receivers this weekend. It gives you more flexibility to do more things.
Mm. Baldy, the offense, Jalen Hurts, what did you think?
Well, at the end of the game, I said, or even at the end of the first half, I said, that's the best deep ball thrower in the league. You know, nobody took more deep shots. He had 8 shots, John, of 20 yards or more in that game. 2 of them were defensive pass interference calls. You know, you saw the throw at the end of the first half to get it down to the 2 to Devontae. I mean, he just trusts his receivers, and he's got 4 of them that can go get it. When you look at A.J. and Devontae and Quez and Dallas, and so he's taking advantage of it. The touchdown throw to Devontae with 8 seconds to go in the half, like, that was his call. Like, that's not Nick calling it. You know, that's him. That's him at the line of scrimmage with no time. You get shut down at the 2-yard line on a quarterback read option. You don't have time to listen to any calls. You just got to call it. And you call it, you give it, and you deliver it perfectly to Devontae. It's pretty strong. It's a pretty strong resume through 3 weeks.
Baldy, the one thing the one negative we are talking about with the offense is that they're scoring in spurts. It was 24 points in the second quarter, didn't score in the second half or the first quarter. So now that's kind of a trend over the first two of the first 3 games, no scoring in the second half. Any reason to be concerned about that, and why do you think that's happening? Is that just because they're up and then we're concerned with milking the clock, or what happens in those situations?
Well, they had a lot of penalties, John, last week in the second half. Those penalties put them in bad positions. And so, you know, you're not 3rd and 5, you're 3rd and 15. And they were faced with those situations a bunch. And so, you know, when I look at penalties, everybody says, well, you're undisciplined. No, it's not an undisciplined thing. It's just it's a teaching moment. Like, the reason why you commit penalties, not outside of pre-snap penalties where you're moving and things like that, that's just concentration. But generally, you commit penalties because you're out of position. And so you got to get in better position. That's footwork generally. And really knowing your personnel and knowing who you're going up against that gets you in bad position. So that's been the biggest cause of their collapses in the second half. I'm not even going to say it's a collapse. But it is a concern, no question about it. You know, you want to be consistent throughout. And really what you want is that you've got a very good team coming to town this weekend, John. What you want is 4 good quarters. Because that's, as Ike knows, when you come into the locker room after the game and you got a W, you know, what kind of a win is it? Was it an ugly win? Was it 4 quarters of just steamrolling a team where it's just 4 quarters of execution? When you get those kind of wins against good teams, that's when your confidence as a group just flies.
Tell us a little bit about this Jags team, man. Doug's got these guys playing hard, playing smart. Trevor Lawrence looks better. Tell us what we can expect when we see this Jags team take the field Sunday against the Eagles.
Well, I mean, Doug's done a great job, Ike. But bigger than that is they've hit on every one of their draft picks over 2 years. I mean, Trevor looks like the number one pick in the draft. Mm. You know, Trayvon Walker looks like the number one pick in the draft. He's a great player. Devin Lloyd might be as good at off-the-ball inside linebacker as there is in football after 3 weeks. You know, the Luke Fortner, their center, looks like he's been playing a position for 5 years. Like, they've hit on their picks. Mm. Like, that's one thing. So they got talent. Secondly, Trevor Lawrence was not very good last year, right? This offense and what they did to help the offense, fix the offensive line, which they've done. The offensive line's played very well. But Trevor has really good movement. But he's not a panicker, and he's not a guy looking to run. He's just looking to buy time. And he throws well on the run, either right or to the left. First touchdown last week was a dime against the Chargers on the run. So that's that. They have a good running game. They got 2 good backs, James Robinson and Travis Etienne. They're both excellent in pass protection, by the way, also. If you want to blitz them, both those guys will go give you a little chin music, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yes.
Yeah. And so, like, they'll deliver a little of that. They're good at it. But they're good runners. I mean, you know, James Robinson went for 50 on a 4th and 1 last week, broke the game wide open. He's a good back, and he's healthy. Both of them are healthy. And then they added these receivers. And, look, Christian Kirk is exactly what they want. You know, they've got all these little concepts like, okay, Here's the cheese. Are you taking the cheese? If you are, I'm throwing it here. If you don't, I'm throwing it here. And they kind of have, like, made it pretty simple for Trevor. That's one thing. And then when he gets a clean picture and he knows what he's looking at, by golly, the guy's putting the ball where he wants to put it. So, and they're not beating themselves. So all those things make a team that's on the rise and are going to win a lot of games. They've just completely destroyed the Colts and the Chargers in back-to-back weeks. And so it's one thing beating the Colts at home. It's another thing beating the Colts at home, getting on a plane, going to the Chargers, and taking them apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you expect a tough game on Sunday, buddy?
I do. I think it's the best opponent that the Eagles have played. And I think, you know, Vikings rebounded last week really nicely. They're a talented team. But I think this is the best all-around team that the Eagles have played so far.
Mm. Brian Bollinger, I saw you were down at Tampa for the Green Bay-Tampa game, right? You were broadcasting that game?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the deal with both of those teams?
They have top five defenses. Both defenses are stout. Tampa Bay played without any starting wide receivers. They picked up Cole Beasley off the street on Wednesday, and the first pass of the game was to Cole Beasley. So, you know, Mike Evans was suspended, and all the other guys were hurt. So, you know, they're just limited. But boy, both those defenses are really good, and so it was just a defensive battle after the first quarter.
Mm. Tom looked any different? Is this more about he doesn't have a lot of people
he
to throw
awesome.
To? Yeah.
I think he completed eight in a row in the final 2 minutes to get down there to score the game tying touchdown. They just couldn't convert to the 2-point conversion.
Right.
They had a, like, some silly delay of game penalty after the touchdown and didn't get the 2-point off in time, which they were gonna score on, so they had to back them up 5 yards, and then they had an incompletion from 7 yards away, but he was razor sharp when he had to be coming down the field.
Baldy, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, brother.
Okay, take care. Right?
Yep.
Enjoy.
There he is, Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. And make sure you follow In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Him raving about the defense and really kind of the completeness of the defense, where you talk about the defensive line and how so many people can get to the quarterback, and a lot of that is a byproduct of the coverage in the secondary. And
are you talking about with the Eagles?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought you meant the
no,
damn
sorry.
Jags.
It's the beginning
yes.
of the call.
Yep. Yep. No, you're right.
And the linebackers are really
doing
good.
Doing a real good job, man. I'm telling you, they are really plastering, and that means locking up on these receivers. And allowing their D line to get after the quarterback. The last two games, man, whether it was Justin Jefferson with Adam Thielen and Cook coming out of the backfield. I know Irv Smith got behind us the one time in the secondary, but you know, Washington was locked up for the most part in that game. They were locked up. Terry McLaurin is a very good receiver.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuels had been playing well prior to that game. Like, they really – you look at this defense, man. We got something – we got the potential of having something pretty good. These guys can stay healthy. Jonathan Gannon has the ability to go man up on – think about it. Chauncey Gardner is a hybrid nickel corner safety. So the Eagles have the ability to put Chauncey Gardner on a very good slot receiver.
Wherever they want
like
to put
him. Like a Curtis Samuel. Right? Or if they want to put him on a tight end that may be like a Darren Waller or what have you. So you watch a lot of what the Eagles do after the game starts. They run a lot of defensive packages that either involve one linebacker or two. Kaiser White can be out there in the dime coverage, or he and TJ Edwards are out there in nickel coverage as two linebackers, four down linemen, six defensive backs. The dime coverage, you may have – depending on how they decide to use Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, whether he's the safety, the nickel, you know, the nickel corner or what have you, that could be a seven DBs
right,
out there.
Right.
And so they match up on skill position guys, and you're like, there's no advantage for the offense anywhere.
Right.
Like, there is no mismatch out there. Because Kaiser White's a former safety.
Right. He looks like he could cover a wide receiver.
So,
yeah, he does.
They all have the speed and athleticism to be able to cover guys up.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at that Minnesota game, we were talking, oh, Justin Jefferson, how are you going to be able to stop him? Slay locked him up the entire game. I mean, he really did, and you hope that the back's all right and he's going to be good to go this week. But, man, like, we talked about it, and we wondered how good the defense could be, and I guess you were never really going to know until you saw him play. That first week, you're like, oh, man, I don't know if this doesn't look good, but –
And that had to do more with tackling.
Yeah. Yep.
Than anything else.
Because there were big plays. They were scoring points off of big plays, missed tackles.
Yep.
Well, there you go. All right, we'll get back to the phones. But first, let me tell you about Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, listen, if you're getting engaged, there's one place to go. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Because this city loves the champion. And the champion of diamond engagement rings in the entire Delaware Valley is my friend Jim at Mark's Jewelers. Montgomeryville, right there on Route 309. Jim and his all-star staff have the largest selection of diamond rings in the entire area. And unlike going to the mall, Mark's has rings that nobody else's have. And that they make, that's right, they'll make you a custom diamond engagement ring. So get your one-of-a-kind lady a one-of-a-kind ring, but you can only do that in one place. Mark's Jewelers. Jim's my jeweler, and he should be yours, too. Learn more at marks-jewelers.com and tell him that I sent you. Well, there you go. Very exciting. I mean, and he called Jalen Hurts the best deep ball thrower in the NFL, Ike Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
after 3 weeks.
After 3 weeks, yes.
You got to always throw that in there. It's not a knock, but I'm just saying.
Well,
if it was 2 weeks, we'd be like, oh, he's the best deep ball thrower in the game. And after 2 weeks, okay.
Well, I will say.
I'm just saying, it is after 3 weeks. If it was after 7, 8, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, it's a larger sample size.
Yeah. I will say, what made Russell Wilson great back in Seattle was that that's what he did well.
Yeah, that deep ball, yeah.
Yep. I mean, Hurts.
Now he can't throw a ball past 20 yards for some reason.
Now he's throwing worm burners.
Now he's got to be back to running around to make plays in the 30s.
Listen, they might have a little Russell Wilson 2.0.
Maybe.
They said they didn't want to miss the chance to draft, Russell Wilson again. Well, he's not as cringy.
Well, no, let me say this about that, because I thought about this, actually, when somehow that damn video of him with that sandwich popped up on my timeline.
Did you watch it again?
Yeah, I did watch it again, because I need to see him visually saying this nonsense.
It's worse when you see it.
It is worse. Yeah, I would advise the Eagles to stop using him as an example of somebody they wanted to go out there and get, because that's not something that the fan base here is going to be like, oh, I wish we could have got Russell Wilson. Yeah, that was prior to Russell turning into cornball Russell.
Yeah.
When he didn't say as much.
Your turn on Russell Wilson has been
It's been epic, right?
four months ago, we're melted down that he's not an Eagle.
Well, Jack, I will say this, that my last good Eagles take was they should have went after Tyreek Hill, and I was mad they didn't go after Tyreek Hill. I've been on a
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember my last good Eagles take, frankly.
No?
No, listen, I'm in a cold streak. Need the Phils to make the playoffs, honestly. That's my big one.
Well, the good thing is just keep firing those Eagles takes out there. It don't even matter, man.
Volume shooter.
Volume shooter, brother. That's right.
Six man, yeah.
Jack was pitting players against us during one of the commercial breaks.
Yeah, well, listen, just creating, content, as we do at WIP. Pit greats against each other.
Believe me, the bye week is coming up.
Listen, Hurts or Embiid?
Right now, you got to pick one to stay and one to go. Hurts or Embiid? Jack, who you got?
Oh, Embiid can go.
Just like that. Jalen goes from he can't throw to get rid of Embiid.
Yeah, but moving on.
I'm with you.
By the way, Joel Embiid ranked fourth in the NBA among top 100 players.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
And that's not after three games.
No, it's after bodies of work.
Yes.
not the playoff series either.
It's definitely not after the playoff series.
Definitely not after the playoff series.
Correct. Scott. Scott's in Florida. Scott, how are you? Go ahead, man. What up?
I'm great, fellas. Yeah, I have a quick question for you. With this team, definitely a coach would, really look forward to coaching this team. I have no problem with Sirianni. I'd like to see how he develops, just like Jalen. But if you had the option, if Peyton had the option of going to the Cowboys or the Eagles, which would he do? Or how would you feel about having him?
Sean Payton?
Yeah, versus Sirianni. And the draw would be the team that you got. You got
sure.
A team that any coach would love to coach.
Sure, sure.
What do you think?
I like Sean Payton as a coach. I really do. His last year or two there wasn't very good. He's working with Drew Brees, who was
– late Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees didn't have a whole lot left in the tank. But Sean Payton as a play designer – he's always been a good play designer, play caller. But I like Nick Sirianni. I'm with you there. I can't tell you that I think Nick Sirianni is a better coach than Sean Payton. I'm not going to go that far. I think Sean Payton is the better coach. I want to give Sean Payton his respect. He's been in the league a long time. He's won a championship. I like Nick. He's not Sean Payton. He's not a play caller.
Yeah,
Not, he's not. He doesn't, right. He doesn't have the same impact on the outcome of the game that Sean Payton had week in and week out. Yeah, so in other words, if you're asking me, could Jalen Hurts benefit from having Sean Payton as his head coach? Hell yeah, he could. Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, each of these games is actually really you're really looking forward to catching it one way or another. I've had to watch a few games on Bleacher Report, but because I couldn't get them live, but it was fantastic. And but you know. Each game is like it's a new challenge, and these guys are living up to it. So it just is another big test.
So far, so good. Scott, are you avoiding the hurricane in Florida? Where are you?
Well, actually, I just did. I left this morning from the hurricane. I live between Ocala and Orlando, and I was lucky. I had another job that I was able to move up, so I'm driving through Alabama to Montgomery, and it's sunny here. So I went from rain and everything terrible to sunny weather, and then I'll be back there on Friday or Saturday. So.
All right, man.
I'm dodging the bullet.
Be safe, man. Yeah, the hurricane made land, and you know we're gonna, I guess, get that this weekend into early next week. I don't know how rainy it's gonna be, but you know, certainly bad down there in Florida. Andy in Deptford. Andy, how are you, buddy? What's up?
Yo, what's up, John?
Andy.
What up, Ike?
What up, Andy?
I want to get to the Eagles, but quickly on the Phillies. It's so tough how the city, the fan base, were not all fillied up for the playoffs. I mean, they had their last home stretch of games this season last week, and the only crowd they could get in that building is when they did Dollar Dog Night.
Yeah,
I mean, it's good night.
We're in a playoff push. Nobody's buzzing with this team. I just think they don't have much sizzle. They don't have much snap to them. Like I don't know. What's drawing us in? Bryce Harper and his fanatic socks? I don't know. I think it's kind of built the wrong way. You're trying to get all these high-priced players, and nobody's really gravitating toward them. Cassiano, I mean, Schwarber's hitting bombs, but what's his batting average? Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell you what I honestly think it is, Andy. I think we're in a football town where we're more starved and crazed about the Philadelphia Eagles than we are about the other sports teams. And if that sports team happens to cross into the Philadelphia Eagles airspace, they get swallowed up. The reason why the Sixers seem like everybody's interested in them, it's usually April, May, and June when the Eagles aren't playing. Right? Like, we're not into the Sixers the first half of the season.
That's when we start. That's
it's
when
the
we start
second half of the season. Yeah. So the Phillies coming down the stretch, we're just more into football. I don't know if the Phillies can do anything other than what they've been doing. Obviously, you can win more. But I just think it's a football town. It's a football town. What else can you say?
I get you on that, Ike. But when we had Rollins and Howard and it was Red October,
yeah,
people
but
were Phillied and
you know what?
Up.
Nope. No, they weren't. They were tired of Andy Reid at that time. It was at the end of towards the end of the Andy Reid era, and the Phillies were new and fresh, and it was new that was happening. And I remember, like, they wanted Andy gone after that Arizona NFC championship game. Right? And that was in 08. Wasn't that in 08? That was the year.
Yeah.
So that's when it became a Phillies town for that five-year run because people were tired of the Eagles at that point. But now
– they had their little run.
Yeah.
Quickly on Eagles,
go ahead. I'm
right?
sorry. Yeah.
All right. So if you guys had to choose between the two of these guys, you only can pick one, Slim Reaper or Micah Parsons. Who you going with?
Micah Parsons.
Slim Reaper or Micah Parsons. I would go with Micah Parsons.
Me too. Slim Reaper's a dog, but I mean, Micah Parsons, he may be the next LT.
Yeah.
I seen him put that guard on his butt. I'm like, oh, my grown man putting somebody on their butt like that.
He dominates a game. He dominates a game.
Nah, and that's no shot at Devontae Smith.
Oh, no. Yeah, no
shot at him. It's just easier to find wide receivers than it is to find that type of linebacker.
Yep.
That's a defensive playmaker. When you can find a J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, Von Miller, you know, those are the type of – Aaron Donald. Like that's where Micah Parsons is headed in his second year. That's where he's headed. Not a Micah Parsons fan. I'm just telling you what I'm watching and what I'm seeing, that you don't find that caliber of defensive player every year. That's a legitimate game-changing defensive player. So,
He's going to get paid, not quarterback money, but he's going to get paid near quarterback money. When
hell yeah, he is. Well, the defensive players getting quarterback money nowadays. Yep. Yeah, they are.
Yep. 30. Start with 30.
Yes, sir.
Yep, he's that good.
Yes, sir.
215-592-9494. It is Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. Doug Peterson speaking to the Philadelphia media today. Answering the question.
I've become a bigger fan of the Slim Reaper, though, boy.
Yeah, he's
man. Yeah, he's pretty good too. He's pretty good. It's just that we got AJ too, so it's kind of like.
I don't get the best deep thrower in football throwing the ball. So
deep what?
All right, Jack, Slim Reaper or AJ Brown?
Deep thrower.
Jack, AJ or Devontae? One's got to go.
Devontae.
All right.
Come on, man. We're coming off our best week.
We got Batman. Listen, AJ Brown.
You're right. We got Batman. Yeah, we got skinny Batman. Which one you want?
Skinny Batman. I want Beast Batman. I'll take the 1A versus the 1B. And
who's the 1A?
1A is AJ Brown.
1A is number 6.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Better 215-592-9494.
Better wide receiver, Devontae or AJ? More complete wide receiver.
Devontae!
Right? Yeah, all right.
AJ's more dominated.
Oh, no.
All right. Went 155 in a touchdown. What, Devontae, cute little 169?
In the first half.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right. One's got to go. Jalen Hurts or Maxey?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I think we finally trade Maxey for that. 6 months ago, we wouldn't have.
No, for sure. We couldn't trade him for Durant.
For sure. And I traded Maxey for everybody, if
yes.
you remember.
Yeah, 6 months ago, we wouldn't have traded Maxey. But if you tell me Hurts, yeah. Come on, man. So how soon before we are arguing about Devontae and AJ? Bye week?
Bye week, yes.
We almost had it after week one.
Or coming up next. 215-592-9494. Doug was also asked about what he'll do differently in coaching Trevor Lawrence than he did Carson Wentz. That answer, your phone calls next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, advanced regenerative medicine. That's what QC Kinetics is doing right now for people. You're in pain, right? Whether it's from an injury, whether it's just from you have pain, you have joint pain, you have arthritis. Right, like whatever you're in pain for, your hip, your back. I know a lot of people that are having bone-on-bone arthritis, and they say, hey, listen, you need a replacement, your knee, your hip. QC Kinetics is restoring and repairing damaged tissue. Athletes have been doing this for years. It's now available to you through QC Kinetics. They're the nation's leader. How about a torn meniscus, rotator cuff? Call QC Kinetics now. You don't have to live with the pain. Learn how you can get your life back. No drugs, no surgery, no steroid shot. No living on ibuprofen, right? You get what I'm saying? Get pain-free with QC Kinetics. You can call them now for a free consultation. 215-999-3000. 215-999-3000. That's QC Kinetics. 215-999-3000. Marks and Reese, we are back. Twitter questions today brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're getting engaged, the place to go with Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville for the best selection of diamond engagement rings anywhere. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Doug Peterson speaking to Philadelphia area reporters on a conference call earlier today. So, I mean, it's the comparison. Like, you had Carson Wentz coming out early. You have Trevor Lawrence entering his second year. What will you do differently coaching Lawrence than Wentz?
Yeah, I think you just got to be who you are. And you know, just – trust myself, you know, trust the guys that I've put in the room with Trevor, you know, Mike McCoy, Press Taylor, guys like that. I got to trust them. Right. And obviously trust myself and just really, I think embrace who Trevor is as an athlete, as a quarterback in this league and make him the best that he can be and, you know, how he can, you know, best use his talent on game day and, you know, show him how to be a leader, show him how to be a guy in the locker room that people want to go to and respect. And those are all, you know, those are all things that come with the territory as a quarterback. But I think just my experience is, in this league and working with great quarterbacks, you know, those are the things that I want to be able to show Trevor, you know, just how that looks and make him the best he can be.
And not be Urban Meyer is another thing he can do for Trevor Lawrence.
Well, he's already accomplished that.
Hell yeah, he has. So Lawrence has looked good so far. Coming up at 5:30, we have in the envelope. What, Jack, what are we putting in the envelope today? Have we specifically decided, or?
I think we just do Eagle in the envelope.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe an Eagle under Doug Peterson?
Eagle under Doug Peterson in the envelope. Yeah, perfect.
It's a five-year window. A lot of players.
Yeah.
A lot to choose from.
A pair of tickets. Lot to choose from, Jack. Pair of tickets to Eagles Jags this Sunday, brought to you by AAA Eagles MVP program. Go to AAA.com/Eagles for details and become an MVP today. That's coming up at 5:30. Let's take some phone calls, starting with Steve in South Philly. What's up, dude?
Johnny Marks, I agree. What up, dudes?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, man. Hey, Johnny Marks, real quick. Yeah. Remember earlier in the year where we were able to take a trip down memory lane and actually authenticate your knowledge of 90s hip-hop and
of
that
course.
You were actually legit?
Of course, yes.
Okay, I'm figuring since then you would have followed up with Jack and hooked up with him and got him that Cypress Hill beat of your favorite Cypress Hill commercial from St. Ives. Because that thing coming out of commercials be cranking.
Here is something you can't understand.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, the instrumental's definitely there. So, all right, we'll take it under advisement. There's a lot of stuff from the 90s that we should start putting out there, mixing it in. We don't have a lot of coming back from commercials, right? So we're limited in what we can do, but yeah.
But especially since you seem to be such a big Cypress Hill guy, and they were signed to a Philly label, Roughhouse Records. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tie. It's a 215 tie. All right, now for today's... question. The whole thing with if Nick will be here for a long time, he seems like a go-along, to get-along guy.
So what we're asking is, does he have staying power? Doug Peterson was here for 5 years. Does Nick Sirianni have staying power beyond that? That
he
Doug
has
Peterson
staying
didn't?
Power, but contingent upon if he has success or not. It's like if he all of a sudden wins a Super Bowl within 3 years, then he might not be the same go-along to get-along guy. They blatantly hired that guy because he has no leverage. He's getting no job offers nowhere else.
Right.
But at the point when he has a Super Bowl under his belt, he can talk to whoever he wants to. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to have him tame version now. You know.
What happens with success, yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is, and I like to say about Doug, the elephant in the room is, nobody really wants to say it, but Doug kind of got his last year sabotaging him. Is if you look at it like this, from what everybody was talking about, whether it was training camp, preseason, and definitely during the season, a lot of the times his quarterback was doing the opposite of what he wanted him to do. It was a lot of kill. So he's drawing up plays, and instead of him actually addressing it and saying it, he got his boy Brett Favre to say it. Then when Brett said it, instead of him saying, no, I don't feel like that, he kind of was like, yeah. That's because that's what he really wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he really actually wanted to say. And for all the listeners that are not familiar, yes, it seems like Doug is taking the high road and this and that. Let me explain something to y'all. When you're one of these coaches, whether it's him, John Gruden, David Culley, or whatever, if you get let go from a team, you're not, before you get that last check, you're signing some non-disclosure agreements. You will not trash the organization. Mm-hmm. You're not going to say a whole bunch of stuff. That's why they don't write the books and tell you all the stuff that happened. So, yeah, he's going to take the high road. But what he really, really thinks is closer to what Brett Favre said, you know, and it's like, and he really, we almost don't even know how the season would have went if the quarterback was actually doing what he was asking him to do. But he's not able to say that.
Nah, that team stunk, Steve.
That's
well, I mean, I will agree with you. It wasn't the great. It definitely doesn't have the weapons it has now. But Ike, if you were the coach,
mm-hmm.
if you're sitting there drawing up offensive plan, like you have a game plan, mm-hmm. and the dude is blatantly checking out of everything you want, and then you keep saying, and whatever you do, throw the ball away or don't take a sack, and he just keeps doing it anyway. You're in a position to fail, and then he just got paid all the money, so he's got all the leverage. If it comes down to him or you, you're gone.
Well, they both left.
True, but see, that's the craziest part about that. I think they were thinking by getting rid of Doug that all of a sudden Carson was going to be happy, and then Carson still was mad. So they kind of played themselves.
There was a lot going on that year for sure. But as far as talent, and that's maybe where that should be one of the first things you talk about with that season.
Well, expectations matter.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it boils down to. What's your realistic expectation? I mean, if you expected that team to go out and win something, then I don't know if you really evaluated the team correctly.
Yeah, we didn't.
Like, what were they supposed to go out and win with that team?
Greg Ward.
And it was in a pandemic year.
Yep. Greg Ward led the team with 53 receptions.
Right.
Dallas Goedert had 46. Travis Fulgham, how you doing, had 38, third on the team in receptions.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the – like, Richard Rodgers had 24 receptions. You remember the Hakeem Butler era?
Oh, yeah. We went to him on fourth down.
That's when Doug ran out of plays.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, like, Deshaun was hurt. He was going to be relied on to be a big part of the offense. He was hurt.
Which some people will say that was a mistake.
Right.
Why would you rely on a receiver who can't stay healthy and everything else?
And guess who else?
I got you, bro.
Guess who else was on the roster? He wore 17.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alshon.
Alshon's still on the roster because Howie guaranteed him the year because he was trying to free up money because he potentially was trying to trade for somebody the year before. Yeah, like you look at that team, it's not a good roster at all. And to your point, that's in hindsight. We're so full of being, they won the Super Bowl, they can extend this window. That team stunk. And the fact that the quarterback played so poorly.
It didn't help it at all.
And that's how you get four wins.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's not like the defense was
good. We traded for Slay that offseason, and we've had Slay on. And he's talked about that very year. And just in his meeting room, because remember, they didn't meet as a team that year. It was the pandemic. Right. Everybody had to be separated, offense, defense. So he talked about how I didn't necessarily feel all that welcomed by every player.
Sure.
Like he was sort of the outsider. And
well, Jalen Mills knew that he was in the last year of a contract. Slay's coming in to clearly take his spot.
And people weren't exactly.
McLeod knew that he was on borrowed time, and he actually came back last year. But there were a lot of guys that knew that they probably weren't coming back.
And they wanted a new deal.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Who do you think led the 2020 Eagles in tackles?
I remember Al Singleton, right? Alex Singleton? Yeah. Where is he at?
Broncos, yeah.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Where is he at now?
You know, Richard Rodgers is on an active roster.
He is?
Someone just called him up from the practice squad. I forget who. Was it the Chargers?
I think it's the Chargers.
Yeah, he was active on this past weekend.
Dick Rod still hanging around, man. Telling you.
Jalen Mills was second with 74 tackles in 2020.
Did he play corner or safety?
Safety. Safety. They moved him. But then he moved him back to corner because they had injuries.
Right. Right.
And because Roby Coleman was such a disaster, he was supposed to come in and be good. Nate Jerry. Also was a prominent member of that
year. White Snake. Is that the White Snake, right? Is that what he was? Yep. Yeah.
And remember when he's turned around completely backwards on the the fourth down call to Steelers?
Yeah.
Duke Riley had 55 tackles. Like
Duke Riley? Yeah.
It was a terrible roster. You look at the roster right now.
That's what I'm saying. Think about how many players are still here from that roster.
Malik Jackson was still stealing money at that point, right?
Malik Jackson.
Never?
Wow, yeah.
So, like, as much as and still, I think if we go back, we can say, like, we understand why they let go of Doug, and I still think it was the right move. But, man, Howie created a lot of this mess himself, and he's rebounded, and credit to Howie. But when everybody was mad at Howie, that team sucked.
And remember, there was a lot of heat on Howie that year about the roster.
Yep.
Because that was the Rager pick, and then Justin Jefferson went off that year. That was their rookie year, right? That was Justin Jefferson's rookie year.
Well, and it was like, why would you waste a second-round pick on a quarterback?
And then, that's what I'm saying. So Howie was under fire.
Coming off Ortega Whiteside doing nothing.
Yes,
and they had no money because it was all tied up.
Yep.
Listen, the fire Howie thing was justified. I mean, I know he's coming
he's
back.
He's rebound from it.
But, like, in the moment, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was awful. Michael Jaquette.
Oh, God.
Well,
oh, yeah, those the Bosby. The Bogsby.
Bosby.
Yeah. The corners.
Remember the Will Parks era?
I mean, we're giving people a lot of names for 5:30, by the way.
Remember the Joe Osman era, Philadelphia Eagles era?
I do not remember that
Me
era.
Me neither, but yeah. He was on the team for 3 games. All right, let's get back to the phones. After, let's talk about NJ Dye for a second, because if you have that extra weight, you're carrying that extra weight. Listen, you're a sports fan. So baseball playoffs, football season started, basketball and hockey seasons are getting started. So now you can go to the games without restrictions, which is great, and continue those traditions with your family and friends. But NJ Diet wants to help you keep celebrating victories all year long. And you can do that and win by getting yourself healthier and dropping a lot of weight. Contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 pounds. In as little as 40 days, NJ Diet starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work to help you lose the fat. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to help you keep the weight off. Put NJ Diet into your starting lineup today by calling them at 855-5NJ-DIET. 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your initial consultation very easily by going online to njdiet.com. Locations throughout the East Coast or worldwide with live online video consultations. Become your own MVP today. Visit njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com. Our friend Eleanor from West Philadelphia checking in. Ellie, how are you today? What's going on?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
How are you?
Hey, Miss Eleanor.
Who said OU? Who said that?
That was Johnny Marks.
Me.
Hey, it's me, and I got my neck roll on.
Uh-oh.
So you know I'm doing deep analysis right about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you why I'm calling. You had Baldy on,
yep.
And he was talking about how good our secondary is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I've been thinking about with that secondary this year. Remember how we used to go crazy, tear our hair out, because nobody in the secondary knew that they had to keep their eye on the ball. They were always looking in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it nice not to have that problem anymore?
Oh, no, we got players at cornerback now. Yeah, we got two legitimate Pro Bowl corners. Yeah.
We got real players now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. It doesn't even seem correct because we had those bad ones for so long. Good grief. So this was it's a wonderful thing. I'm really enjoying listening to them play. It's a good thing.
And we still haven't drafted Avonte Maddox, I guess. We drafted him at corner. But I'm like, yeah, drafting a corner and developing him into being our starting corner. Yeah, we haven't done that in a while either around here.
Well, you know, he was almost like over on the side somewhere because those other guys are taking up all the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's able to really get out there and develop and show how good he really is. So this is a wonderful thing. I'm really enjoying that aspect of the game. This is a great team right now in terms of being a fan and enjoying the game, because there's so many good parts of it. And you know, we know they're going to grow and develop and so forth, but it's just fun to watch the whole process, isn't it?
Mm. No, it really is.
It's been fun, Ellie.
It really is. And the thing that I will say, as we, you know, Doug's coming back this week, and we're doing a lot of thinking back and how did it end and why did it end and where we are now versus where he's at down there. I'll tell you this. As an Eagle fan, and I said this back then, not even just as a fan, as the former player. What wasn't fun was the constant fighting amongst the fan base about the team. That wasn't fun. And so for a couple years, it just wasn't fun to be an Eagles fan. Just wasn't. Everything was a negative. Everything was this guy versus that guy. Like, it went for 2 or 3 years. And over the last year and a half, at least it's been a lot less anxiety and animosity amongst the fan base with each other about the football team. And I think Jalen's play the first month of the season so far has quieted the only noise that anybody could come up with about this football team. Because it seems like that's a sport to debate about the quarterback, whether he's good enough. Is he a top 10 quarterback? Is he a top 15? Can you win a championship with him? Should it be this guy in there? Yeah, at least right now, that is quiet. And it's become fun again to be an Eagles fan. It just has. I know for me it has. It's just become more fun to talk about the team, to root for the team, and really be amongst the Eagles community. That's really what it's become more fun. Because before then, it was a divided fan base. Whether you were in this section, or that section, it was like we were all at each other's throat being Eagles fans. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that seemingly, other than a few people who don't want to let go of certain takes they've had about the team. No, not him. I mean callers.
And we've held them accountable. Ain't
yeah, but I'm just saying, other than that, most people are back on one accord being an Eagles fan again.
It's fun to be an Eagles fan again. It is. Yep.
It just is.
And the other thing, there's no leaks coming out of NovaCare. There's no bad stories.
You don't hear
stories.
None of that nonsense. That stuff died in 2020.
Yep.
He ain't heard nothing since then.
Yeah. And that's good too. Because yes. I mean, dysfunction. It felt like it was dysfunctional down there.
It was. Yep. I mean, as far as everything that was going on.
There was way too much that was coming out to tell you anything but that. So that's
it certainly wasn't a winning environment.
You can't argue with that.
Now, is there anyone on this team that's going to get cut and then go on with Skip and Shannon? Or is that?
Oh, man. Bringing in guys like that. What's his name? I forgot.
Orlando Scandrick.
Orlando Scandrick. That's another one.
He hasn't done a lot of TV after that, did he?
I haven't really seen him. He did a couple appearances, but nothing permanent.
No,
I haven't seen him unless he's doing somewhere else.
Which is good. 215-592-9494.
Well, he can only talk about the Eagles for the week and a half that he was here. He wasn't going to spend his whole career talking about the Eagles.
And I don't think he had much else to offer.
No, he didn't have anything else. From that standpoint,
right.
No.
Jack, one's got to go. Joshua Harris or Doc Rivers?
What?
Ooh. Josh Harris spends
money. Josh Harris, is he here? I don't even know he's here.
He's over the luxury tax every year. He spends money.
And stays out of the way.
Yeah.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, definitely Doc, 100%. Yeah. Then I can get Sam Cassell, the real head coach.
Maxie or Hurts? Did you answer that one?
Yeah, I said I would rather. Maxie's got to go, of course.
Maxie's got to go.
Now, Carter Hart or Johnny Tortorella or whatever?
Torts?
I like the way you say it, or whatever.
Or whatever. Yeah, the Flyers.
Yes, come on, man.
Sure, whatever.
Just kidding.
I'm trying to find somebody to pit against the Flyers ownership group, aka Comcast.
That's tough because I think it's pretty easy to take that one.
Yeah, who's the biggest? That's what I'm saying. Who's like the biggest villain?
There's no villains right now in Philly. I think
it's a good time to be a Philadelphia sports fan
until the Phils miss the playoffs.
Yeah, are you hearing this in here, Ike?
Yeah, I hear it.
No, it's the reverse thing.
I know where he's going.
No, I just can't.
Yeah, he's betting the Cubs tonight.
100%.
You betting him again?
Yeah. Well, I always take him live when the Phils are up by a little bit. So I think the Phils get a lead again.
So when the bullpen blows it, then you can.
Right.
215.
It's an emotional hedge, John.
592-9494. Whatever you have to do to get past, you know, get through every day and every game, that's what you got to do, man. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls on the other side. A top five at five with Jack Fritz. What does he have in store for us today? That's next. 5:30 in the envelope for Eagles tickets. What are you doing? Don't go anywhere. Huge 5 o'clock
day
hour. For Doug's day. Yeah, and you can cheer Doug.
He still thinks he's getting booed. Yep.
I know. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, start the NFL Week 4 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Now, it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. And our NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. I got a same-game parlay for you in Thursday night's game, Cincinnati taking on Miami. How about the Cincinnati running back, Joe Mixon, to go over in his rushing yards? And then the wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, to score a touchdown. And the other wide receiver, Jalen Waddle, to go over in his receiving yards. Now, I really like the FanDuel app. Now, build your own or choose from one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same game parlay. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Just sign up with promo code Ike if you don't already have an account. And if you already have FanDuel, then you're all set. Just sign in to see what we've got for you. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
We'll be right back.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.